When might the Fed give the economy a little kick? In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The chair of the Federal Reserve, Jay Powell, is speaking at the Council on Foreign Relations today in New York. This is just a week after Powell suggested that the Fed was very open to the idea of cutting interest rates to give the economy space to grow a little faster and balance out the negative effects of a trade war. Investors, it seems, are now counting on those interest rates coming down, specifically coming down next month. Lindsay Piegza is chief economist and managing director at Stifel Nicolaus & Co., and she tells us the market actually might be getting a little ahead of itself.
It's absolutely true that the committee did open the door for a possible rate cut, but we saw no type of calendar-specific commitment from the committee suggesting that July is 100% in play.
Well, if the market is expecting interest rates to be cut, how bad will it be if they're disappointed?
Well, we could see an extreme downward momentum in both equities and fixed income. But I do think this then is more pressure on the Fed to clearly communicate to the marketplace that, yes, they're absolutely open and willing to cut rates, but they need more information. At this point, the data have been deteriorating for quite some time. So if the committee wasn't convinced in June, one additional data point between now and the July meeting may not be enough to convince them.
Lindsay Piegza is chief economist and managing director at Stifel Nicolaus. Thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you.
San Francisco is likely to approve the country's first outright ban on the sale of e-cigarettes. On the one hand, vaping is significantly safer than smoking cigarettes and is an alternative for adults who are addicted to cigarettes. On the other hand, vaping is also addictive, and it's not without its own health risks. And it's taken off among kids. The CDC says the number of middle and high school students using e-cigarettes rose 71% between 2017 and 2018. San Francisco's Board of Supervisors votes today on the ban. Marketplace's Ben Bradford takes a look at how bans do or do not change behavior.
People react in strange, sometimes extreme ways to product restrictions, NYU behavioral economist Tatiana Hamanoff says, like when Washington, D.C. put a 5-cent tax on plastic bags.
I had friends who came to visit me in an unregulated state and were just filling their suitcases with plastic bags.
Hamanoff says policymakers need to think about how consumers will adapt. For a ban on addictive e-cigarettes,
do I stop smoking altogether or do I switch to another type of tobacco product?
Like more harmful but still available cigarettes? Or do people just go buy vaping products from neighboring cities?
Honestly, I don't think we know.
Stanford developmental psychologist Bonnie Halpern-Felscher says the law could also pressure the federal government to increase e-cigarette regulation.
There's a very strong message to the FDA, which is simply you need to be doing your job.
And she says the ban could become more effective if other local governments join San Francisco. The city was the first to pass a plastic bag ban in 2007, and hundreds of others followed, eventually leading to a statewide ban. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
Part of being a responsible news organization, especially one that covers business and the economy, is fiscal responsibility. Marketplace's budget year ends on June 30th, and we're closing in on our goal of 2,500 donors for this drive. But we still need to hear from you. Become a Marketplace investor for as little as $5 and keep trustworthy, independent news going strong. Contribute today at marketplace.org, and thank you.
Activists in Hong Kong want a controversial extradition bill on the agenda at the upcoming G20 summit in Japan. A Chinese government official has said China would not allow that issue to come up at the summit. The bill would have allowed people charged with crimes in Hong Kong to be extradited to the mainland, where they would be subject to a separate legal system. The proposed law was suspended, and massive protests have subsided. Still, the whole episode and the increasing tensions between Hong Kong and Beijing have left some businesses in Hong Kong concerned for the future. Tara Joseph is president of the American Chamber of Commerce in Hong Kong. Good morning.
Good morning.
You've said you have seen some slight signs of companies maybe moving out of Hong Kong to Singapore. What have you seen exactly?
Well, it's hard to put a finger on it based just around the extradition bill and all the difficulties and concerns that that has caused. you have to think of Asia as becoming a much more competitive landscape than it used to be. And so some of these major cities and countries are out there vying for business. Singapore has been extremely aggressive on that front and trying to win more business away from Hong Kong, which for a long time was the major, sometimes the only key player in the region when it came to being a multinational hub.
So how do these protests, how does the increasing influence of Beijing all factor into that?
Well, the gem of Hong Kong, the thing that makes it ultra special, is the fact that people based here know that there is rule of law. And it means if you sign a contract here, that contract could go to court and it could be settled in a way that international businesses, American businesses, for example, would be used to if they went to a court of law in the United States. It also means that there is a certain sense of fair play. Along with that, there is free flow of data. There is freedom of the press here. And those things make Hong Kong really stand out in the region. Anything that starts to puncture that really starts to make people think twice about the value of Hong Kong.
If Hong Kong were to lose out, if companies were to leave in a noticeable way, what would that mean for international business in Asia?
Well, it would lessen the playing field. They would have to find another center that's expensive. And also, they would have to rethink their model for dealing with China. Yes, there's friction in U.S.-China trade right now, but if you're playing the long game, you're thinking about that China market and how you're going to be involved in it in the long run. This is the perfect place to do that.
Tara Joseph is president of the American Chamber of Commerce in Hong Kong. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Our producers are Victoria Craig, Michael Lipkin, Candice Manriquez-Wren, Daniel Shin, and Sasha Woodruff. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.